2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Ever snore so loud it registered as an earthquake, or you woke up with a throat as dry as the Sahara Desert and a headache that could stop a locomotive? Well, I've had all of these because I have sleep apnea. Hi, I'm Scott Mitchell. Yep, I wear a machine plugged into a wall attached to a hose every night. Sound Sleep Medical changed all of this for me, and they can do that for you. They specialize in providing oral appliance therapy for individuals suffering from sleep disorders. In many cases, oral appliances have proven to be as effective as CPAP machines in treating sleep apnea. The lack of sleep is a serious health risk and has been linked to heart disease, stroke, diabetes, and even depression. The oral appliance I got from Sound Sleep Medical has freed me from a hose. I can go anywhere, and I've never slept better. Call Sound Sleep Medical today. Seriously, for a limited time, the first 25 people that call get a free consultation worth $200. Call 801-783-5451. It's 801-783-5451.
All right, welcome into a quick podcast of the Jazz Notes Podcast. I am sitting outside of Vivint Smart Home Arena right now. Jazz have just wrapped up the second night of Summer League action. And it's a nice night out here in Salt Lake City. The Jazz, of course, win this game 86-71. It's a little breezy outside, but you don't care about the weather conditions. What you care about is what's going on with the Utah Jazz right now. Even though I came here to kind of look at the game, mainly I wanted to get some expertise on how the Jazz offseason was going. And before I even got to the guy who I was seeking out, before that even happened, the Jazz signed two more guys. They signed Jeff Green, a forward, and they also signed Emmanuel Mudiay, a point guard. You guys are probably, all Jazz fans out there, you're very familiar with these guys' names. And so I wanted to talk to former Jazz coach Gordon Chiesa about both these guys, but also about what's happened to the offseason so far with the Utah Jazz. And we did it at halftime of the Jazz's game versus the Cavaliers. Here's our conversation. Let's start out with the news that just happened today. The Jazz signed Emmanuel Mudiay. They signed Jeff Green, backup guard, possibly a starting forward. What do you think of the signings, Coach?
I think it's smart. Both of them are one-year contracts, so economically it makes sense. And Emmanuel Mudiay, he was a high lottery pick with the Denver Nuggets, and he had some good moments. At that time, they weren't winning. They were still building. They decided to move on from him. Knickerbocker's in a total rebuild. It didn't work out with him at Knickerbocker's, but he brings to the Jazz an off-the-bench point guard that can get in the lane and penetrate, and he does have absolute talent. He hasn't found his footing yet. With Mike Conley being the starting point guard, he's going to learn from one of the better leaders in the NBA and probably will have a solid season. Jeff Green, let's call him a wing. He's a streak shooter. He's incredibly athletic in transition. He gives the Jazz the option of running the floor and making momentum plays. His shooting is streaky, but when he's got it rolling, he's highly effective. Again, off the bench, second unit, or as a starter, as a stretch four. He's really a four-man that can run the floor.
Real quickly, I want to go back to Mudiay. Is he one of the players of the Jazz because they feel like they've got a good core together that they can take a flyer on him and say, let's see what we can do with him because we see talent there. Maybe there's something we can work with our development staff and make him just a little bit better.
No doubt. And it all starts with Donovan Mitchell's personality and also Mike Conley. If those two guys weren't there, it wouldn't work out. With those two guys being there and their personality and Conley's leadership, it might work out. But again, on a one-year contract, as I say all the time, the Jazz and the two players on one-year contracts, they're engaged. They're not married.
That's a good thing to say. Now, talk about the other guys that we're talking about here. Mike Conley, I was a little iffy on it in the season. He's now going to be a member of the Jazz, but you're really high on him and what he can do for this team, probably not only for the team, but for Donovan Mitchell, too.
He's the first guy in Donovan's career arc that will make Donovan better. So for his first 2 years, Donovan, who turns 23 in September, he's such a young guy, he had the burden of making everybody on his team better. And by the way, I have to make shots myself. In the playoffs last year, he struggled. It wasn't lack of effort. It wasn't lack of focus. The reality is that the mental pressure and the physicality of the game, he needs help. Along comes Conley. 20 points score in Memphis. Let's not forget, before Conley got hurt 2 years ago, the Grizzlies went to the playoffs 7 straight years. So Conley's played in big playoff games. And when he gets to the Jazz, is a shooter, a terrific passer, an underrated defensive player, and the most important thing is that he's a no-panic guy.
I am not used to the Jazz going out on the first day of free agency and being so aggressive like they were the other day. Did it catch, you know, being a former coach and being part of this organization, did it catch you even a little off guard that they were so aggressive in going out and getting Bojan Bogdanović and Ed Davis?
Not at all, because they got punched in the face in the first round by the Houston Rockets, 4-1. So last year the Jazz had a terrific season. They go 31-10 the last 41 games, the best record in basketball. It's almost kumbaya. It's almost a love fest. And suddenly the Rockets didn't cooperate. They knocked them out early. And in Jazz basketball, the Jazz thought that, you know, the Jazz, and they should have thought that way. They're going to go deep in the playoffs. So now, right away, they reassess their team, what they needed. And what they needed is help at point guard, absolutely, to help Donovan Mitchell. And they added Bojan Bogdanović. Joe Ingles is really a knockdown shooter. Oh, by the way, he shot 26% in the playoffs, because in playoff basketball, they weren't leaving him. Joe Ingles didn't shoot a foul shot in 5 playoff games. Didn't shoot a foul shot. So now with Bogdanović now, they have two corner shooters that both can knock the ball into the hoop, with Conley penetrating and Donovan penetrating. So it makes so much sense. Let's add to this. Everyone liked Derek Favors. Derek Favors is 10th in the all-time Jazz list of career games played. He's a good player, but the Jazz weren't advancing with him because of his limited skill set. And Ed Davis, they got a bonus contract, $5 million a year times 2 equals $10 million, if my math's correct, is that Derek Favors' contract was $18 million in 1 year. They gave the money to Bogdanović to get a better need. So Ed Davis is one of the best offensive rebounders in basketball. Last year he averaged 8.3 rebounds a game in under 18 minutes. He's relentless going to the boards. Now, don't look at his jump shot. His jump shot is absolutely sideways, knuckleball, and it's a bad-looking shot. The Jazz didn't get him to be a jump shooter. They're going to be a rugged rebounder. He's a backup interior force and also a backup center. So he will help. He'll be a willing screener. So he'll give Donovan and Michael Conley daylight on a pick and roll. So all three of those guys are absolutely tremendous. And the two guys today, there's a risk involved, but the contracts are short and they both have talent.
We've only got about a minute left. And so what I wanted to ask you quickly, I see you at a lot of the Jazz home games, scouting, checking out teams. What do you expect from this team next year? What kind of a team do you expect from them, kind of offensively and defensively? Because a lot of people are out there saying, you know, I expect a top 10 offense and top 10 defense. Are you kind of expecting the same thing next season?
Yeah, very much. Absolutely. When Rudy Gobert, they have a defensive anchor. The Jazz are terrific offensively, and defensively they are a juggernaut. So the Jazz are in the top 5 teams in the whole NBA as we speak right now. And that's not just being delusionary saying that. They have the talent, they have the coaching, and they have the experience. And most of all, they're coming off an early playoff exit. And the wounds in the playoffs affect your psyche during the year.
One real quick thing. Tony Bradley having a really good game. He's the one kind of regular who played with the Jazz last season. Is he going to find time on the team this season when you've got Ed Davis, Rudy Gobert? Do you think he's going to find a little bit time this season, especially after being picked In the first round a few years ago.
Yeah, he's a situational player. Don't forget, he just turned 21. He is so absolutely young. He's still trying to find out the physicality of the game. So in the roster chart, he's probably the third center with a whole bunch of upside yet. So the Jazz, they know that. He's just so young. He gives them another big guy in case of emergency.
Coach, you got to get back to work. Good luck. Thanks a lot.
Guys. Thank you.
We'll have more about Green, Moutier, and Tony Bradley after this break. All right, welcome back into the Jazz Notes podcast. First and foremost, what do the Jazz get, in my opinion, when they pick up Jeff Green? What they get is a professional guy. He can play both forward spots, but in reality, I think the reason that the Jazz picked him up is because they want a guy who can play the stretch four. And I think, this is my opinion, and Jeremiah and I just talked about this on the last Jazz Notes podcast, and we talked about Jeff Green, about being one of those guys who the Jazz could possibly sign. I think he's going to be the starting four, but I don't think he's going to finish the game. I guess he could finish the game if he's hot and that Quinn Snyder feels like they should leave him in, but in reality, I don't think he finishes games, but I think he's going to be starting games for him. He is a streaky shooter, but he can shoot the three, and he's still pretty athletic for a 32-year-old dude. So I think it's a really good signing for this Jazz team. I expect him to play, anywhere from 15 to 25 minutes a night. I know that's a big wide margin when you're talking about minutes, but I think that's what's going to happen. But I think it's a guy that really will fit into this team. I think he could have signed a lot of other places and not for the veteran minimum, which is what he signed here for in Utah. But I think the reason why he signed here is because he saw the organization. He saw that they have a chance to go to the NBA Finals, at the very least the NBA Western Conference Finals. I think he also sees an organization in which he could come in and he could potentially start for this team, play major minutes for this team, and actually help this team out, not be some guy that comes off the bench and gives you like 10 minutes a night and is chasing a ring that way. I think what he sees is that he can still be a valuable contributor to this Jazz organization and get playing time on top of that and just really help this team win. So I think it's a good sign. I'm not going to sit here and say he's the best guy that was out there for the Jazz, but for the money, he probably actually was the best guy out there for the Jazz. So let's just stick with that. Emmanuel Moutier. To me, this reminds me of a play-for-pay scenario right now. And what I mean by that is that he was a lottery pick not too long ago by the Denver Nuggets, and things just have not worked out so far for him in this league. He's played for the Nuggets. He's played for the New York Knicks. But I think what he sees is he sees this Utah Jazz program, and he sees a guy like Gordon Hayward who turned himself, and part of it is Gordon Hayward, part of it is the Jazz developmental staff, but he sees a guy like Gordon Hayward, he sees a guy like Donovan Mitchell, he sees other guys that have come through here who were fringe NBA talents and have been able to be in the NBA because of what the Jazz are able to do with players. And so I think he looks at this team and he says to himself, I could get playing time, but I can also get valuable experience with Mike Conley and also with the Jazz developmental staff and become just a better player overall. So I think he thinks to himself right now, I'll sign a one-year contract for the veteran minimum, just over $1 million. Well, just over a million. I'd like just over $1 million, but he signs over $1 million. He's going to come in here. He could potentially be an important cog off of the bench for the Utah Jazz, but most importantly, he can maybe learn how to run a team a little bit better. He could possibly even learn how to shoot a little bit better. Last season, he shot 45% from the field and about 33% from downtown. So he needs to improve on those numbers. But I think what he sees is that he can develop here, and you never know what's going to happen after this season. Again, Conley only has 2 more years left on his deal. I'm sure the Jazz would like to sign him to another contract. But if they don't, and if Emmanuel Moutier improves that, exponentially after that, maybe the Jazz look at him as a starter, or maybe he just comes in and he's really happy with what he has here and he stays with the Jazz, or maybe he comes in for just 1 year and he improves his game and then he goes and he signs somewhere else. It's kind of a win-win situation for both sides. The Jazz get to develop him, and maybe he contributes to a team in a long season and maybe even in the playoffs because of how athletic he is. Again, he's a point guard, but he's 6'5". That's kind of what I've been searching for in a point guard when you have a guy like Donovan Mitchell on your team. And I'm not saying that's what's going to happen in the future, but you never know. So I think it's one of those low-risk, high-reward type of buys for the Utah Jazz. And he sees it as a, if I come in, if I improve my game, I'm going to get a big payday, whether that's from the Utah Jazz or maybe from another team. And I could play actually in the playoffs. Wouldn't that be nice? And wouldn't it be interesting, by the way, if he is able to develop, that the Jazz, let's go back to the Denver Nuggets again. I like the Denver Nuggets. I like their team right now. But the Jazz steal away a guy in Rudy Gobert, steal away a guy in Donovan Mitchell, and then on top of that, they train another guy that was on their team and make him even better than he was before. Now, is that going to happen? We'll just kind of have to wait and see. I think most importantly, what these signings, what this means for the Utah Jazz is they look at that Toronto Raptors team that just won an NBA title. Yes, I understand that Golden State wasn't at full strength, and Golden State's never going to be the same again, but I think they look at that team and they say, not only do we need good players, not only do we need a star, and we have that in Donovan Mitchell, and he's still kind of learning and growing, but I think on top of that, what they see is that they need depth on this team, and that's what these two guys bring. I don't know how important these guys will be to the Jazz when it comes playoff time, but I know that they're going to be able to help this team as this long season progresses. I think it is two fantastic signings. This team really is an NBA Finals contender. Now, will they make it? We're going to have to wait and see. It looks good on paper right now. And again, you look at these guys, and probably the most important you see is that you don't really find a lot of ball hogs on this team. I think everyone still knows where their bread is buttered and who the star is on this team, and that is going to be Donovan Mitchell. All right, getting back to the actual game that we had, we said Tony Bradley was having a good game at halftime. He had a fantastic game. He ended up with 26 points and 16 rebounds in Utah's victory, and he was all smiles after the game. He was really happy that he played well, that he played better than he did the previous night. And you have to wonder yourself, what happens to Tony Bradley now? Because the Jazz, of course, have Rudy Gobert. They now have Ed Davis on their team. So where does Tony Bradley fit on this team? Again, when you talk about depth, you have to think to yourself, just be patient with this guy. He's only 21 years old. Just be patient. He could still grow into being a valuable contributor to this team. And if for nothing else, he's happy with his improvement going forward. Is he going to be a trade chip in the future? Possibly. But I think for right now, all the Jazz are concerned about is getting him better for the present, and he looked a lot better tonight. It was against Summer League action, and I know it's not going to always turn out that way in the NBA. In fact, he struggled playing against NBA talent. But again, it's all about developing him during the season. If he can come in, like we talked about with the other guys, if he can come in and he can give the Jazz some valuable minutes, maybe 10, 15 minutes a game, and he can improve his game, maybe knock down a three-pointer or two, but mainly get rebounds and just be aggressive, that's going to help this Jazz team. I don't know how much playing time he's going to get this year, but I think if he keeps working like he does and he keeps having games like this, I think you're going to see a guy who's going to be at least happy with himself, and you never know what's going to happen in the next year. Again, he is only 21 years old. Justin Wright-Foreman also had a really good game. He struggled early on, but then he shoots 8 for 13, scores 20 points. He has 4 assists in this game, and he knocks 2 3-pointers down. And he said he's still adjusting. He's a small dude, and he's adjusting to having to shoot and pass over taller guys, and it's kind of coming along. But I think with the signing of Emmanuel Mudiay and also having Dante Exum on this team, I'm not sure he's going to get playing time. I think that he is probably in line for playing a lot with the Salt Lake Stars, the Salt Lake City Stars, this upcoming season. But again, you never know what's going to happen down the line. And if Dante gets hurt again, or if Emmanuel Mudiay gets hurt, or, you know, something like that happens, you've got a guy that you're hopefully going to develop into a solid contributor going forward. If you want more on the game, make sure you check out kslsports.com. Trevor Allen was also at the game tonight, so he'll have great information about how the Jazz played in that game. Good interviews. You'll probably find some video, too, of both those guys, both Tony Bradley and Justin Wright-Foreman, and what they had to say after the game. So make sure you check out kslsports.com. You have been listening to the Jazz Notes Podcast. My name is Cleon Wall, and I'm going to wrap it up because I'm going to go catch a train and get home. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Give us a rating, review. Let us know what you think of the Jazz Notes Podcast. We'll have more coming up. Of course, we'll have a whole bunch more coming up when the guys that have said that they will play for the Utah Jazz, traded or free agent signings, when they actually come, we'll have much more to talk about those guys when they actually talk to the media coming up in the near future. This has been the Jazz Notes Podcast, and we are powered by KSL Sports. We'll talk to you soon.